Our gospel this morning is Mark chapter 6, beginning with verse 7. Jesus called the 12 and began to send them out two by two. He gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He instructed them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their money belts. They were to put on sandals, but not to wear two coats. He said to them, "Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that area. Any place that will not receive you or listen to you as you leave there, shake off the dust that is under your feet as a testimony against them." They went out and preached that people should repent. They also drove out many demons. They anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. The Gospel of our Lord. I invite you to join me, join our hearts together in a prayer I will say. Heavenly Father, sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Friends in Jesus, anyone going on a vacation? What is it that you will forget? Isn't it true? Whenever we go on vacations, it always seems like there's one thing that we'll forget. And oftentimes it's something important, maybe something that keeps us alive or something basic. But sometimes it's just simple things like suntan lotion or maybe aloe when we forgot the suntan lotion. Maybe it is our toothpaste and our toothbrush. Maybe it's some of these other things that are just not so important, but something that we really want. And so we end up worrying about what we didn't take. Maybe you're halfway into the trip and it hits you. Oh my goodness. I think I forgot the can of sardines that I was going to bring for that snack. Or maybe I have too much metal in my pockets when we go through the airport detector or whatever it might be. And all this worrying and all this wondering, and we forget how we prayed not too long ago, "Thy kingdom come," that God's kingdom would come to us and to many others, because all of a sudden the worries and cares of this world and our earthly vacation cause us to forget what's really the most important thing to bring with us, God's word. It happens subtly. And sometimes some of us bring too much. I like to bring so many books that I'll never look through during my vacation that I forget to look at any of them because I was just thinking I want to study God's word. And sometimes in that way, I forget God's word. But no matter what, Jesus wants us to know whether we forget this or that thing, whether we remember this or that thing for this earthly vacation, that God's good news goes. It goes along with us. It just can't do anything else. It covers ground. That's what God's good news does. We see that in our gospel this morning. When these pairs of disciples went out, they were called not to go into battle. They were called not to put on shirts of mail and bring big shields. You might expect Jesus to say, "Well, we're going to go take on the Romans, so don't forget your swords and your spears, your bows and your arrows." No. The disciples were called, these 12 friends of Jesus were called and commissioned to go out and battle not flesh and blood enemies, but the kingdom of the devil, the kingdom of sin, the kingdom of death, and all of the powers and suffering that the devil and these other things cause. It was so important for them to know that they were not supposed to bring all kinds of physical things because they were to cover ground. They were going to go this way and that way. And between the 12 of them, we figure each pair probably had to go 4 or 5 miles to go throughout this region of the northern Holy Land, we might call it today, was called Galilee. So there was some ground to cover. And there were some people to see. And that was a good thing. They were to bring these staffs. They were their walking sticks, perhaps. They might want to check the ground with these staffs to make sure there wasn't a snake or something else along the path, or to feel out over the edge to see in the dark if something was steep, or if there's a valley where there should just be a little bit of a stepping hole. They weren't supposed to bring their fanny packs or their man purses. They weren't going to go out with greed for gain. They were going out with a light dress so that they could cover ground. That's what Jesus wanted them to do. He wanted them to go out with God's authority. He wanted them to go out and cast out demons. He wanted them to share the authority of God so that their words would be proved true when they cast out sicknesses and when they cast out God's enemies. So they might have felt, as we said with the children, very underprepared. Now, how often does that happen with us? How often do we feel that the cares of this world and the worries of our earthly vacation, if life were a journey, that we don't have what we need, that we're not equipped with the weapons of God to share His message at this or that time, with this or that person? Maybe sometimes we feel so uncomfortable because we're surrounded by people who we imagine just wouldn't listen. Maybe sometimes the timing just isn't right. I don't really know if this is exactly when God wants me to share the good news of God, because it might hit them at the wrong time. Rather than understanding, no, this is what God's good news does. It covers ground. It creates its own opportunities. It finds its own people. And even though it might come through us, it's really God's good news that's doing the work, isn't it? Those of us who have gone back to God's good news in times of trial, in times of success, in times of hardship, in times of good, of course, it's exactly what we want when we go and we walk across our land, when we go on our turf, when we have our vocational goals in our jobs, in our families, in our lives, in our relationships, the neighbor across the fence, as well as that cousin who didn't listen to me the last 17 times. That's what the gospel does. It covers that ground. That's what Jesus sent the disciples to do. And it's the same thing that God has commissioned each Christian to do in some capacity. Yes, that's true. The pastor has that most summative, that most professional, public way of sharing the good news with God's people. And yet God calls each and every Christian, young and old, mighty and weak, strong and steady, nervous and unassured, doesn't matter who, each Christian has the good news of God. And so it covers ground. But that's not all. As the disciples covered all of those miles, all of those ground, they would need to have the right attitude and the right state of mind. Jesus also wanted them to know that God's good news stands its ground. They were going to go, and how exactly were they going to be taken care of? Well, God would prove His protection and His providence that he provided for these 12 friends of His by people opening their homes to them. And the fact of the matter was, some people wouldn't open their homes to them. Some people would not like the message. Some people would turn them away. And at that moment, Jesus' friends were supposed to shake the dust off their feet and confidently move on to the next place, move on to the next people. Sometimes that makes us nervous, doesn't it? I imagine those 12 friends of Jesus might have felt a little bit afraid, a little unsure of themselves when it came to facing rejection. They needed to have the right state of mind and go with the right goals. They weren't out for greed. They weren't out for simony or self-seeking. They weren't out to fill purses. They weren't out to get something out of it. And they certainly weren't out for their own glory. But they were out there for God the Father and for God the Son, along with God the Holy Spirit, who is bringing the message, as He promises, to come with God's power and to come with God's Word. So they needed to be able to stand their ground and to approach with confidence. They would even reassure one another. They would strengthen each other's souls, eventually with the words, "We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of heaven." Yeah, eventually these 12 men, these were the guys who would go to their own crosses, their own deaths by stone, confidently with the witness of what Jesus had given them to tell. They would finally understand that the kingdom of God belongs not to someone who seeks to figure out the results or to find the visibility of what God's message does in the world, but those who simply confessed their Savior, with the promise that whoever confesses Jesus' name before people here on earth, Jesus would confess their name before his Father in heaven. To go with the promise that Jesus' eye was on them just as God's eye was on the sparrow, and that every hair on their head was numbered, that God would support them and strengthen them, and that the kingdom of God comes even in those times when we're not the ones bringing it. Even in rejection, these pairs of disciples would not become discouraged. And yes, let's deal with the difficult part of this text. Even in their disgust, they would shake off the dust from their feet. That might seem a little judgmental. That might seem like the wrong attitude. But I think we can be assured from other places of Scripture that this was done also with a measure of pity and compassion. The people who would reject God's good news that stood its ground, I don't know if there'd be anyone in any greater judgment than that. People who rejected Jesus while he was on earth. Jesus had special woes to give to those kind of people. And it's only in judgment sometimes and in the work of the law that those hearts might be turned around and see the goodness of the gospel. It's only in humility and in a crushed conscience and repentance that the disciples preached that these people might possibly have a chance with Jesus, eventually be turned around to come to God's forgiveness. So it's very important that God's good news also stood its ground. And what they saw at the end of their journey was that God's good news gained ground, that there were visible results, that there were people to rejoice over who heard the message and whose hearts were broken down, and they were given new hearts of flesh by the good news of Jesus. After all, the good news of God covers ground. It always has, ever since it was good news. Ever since it was Jesus going to the cross. Jesus doesn't stop. Just kind of like a lava flow. In Kilauea, a volcano began erupting May 3rd. Maybe you've heard about this Hawaiian natural disaster that has taken out 657 homes, including the mayor's. What's interesting about lava is you can sit there and you can just watch it as it broils and boils, as it steams and turns over itself. It's mesmerizing, but it doesn't stop. And people have tried. In Iceland, in the past century, people tried bringing out great, big, massive hoses, big cannons of water, and they were shooting at this volcanic eruption as the lava proceeded into a town. And what they found out was they could seem to stall it, maybe redirect it, but really nothing was stopping that lava. In the 1930s, between the wars, they would drop bombs onto volcanoes in Hawaii as they erupted. The U.S. government tried this. They figured if they could widen that cave, that cavern, that great big crater, maybe then the lava would cease, but it didn't. It was only redirected. You can put up big Jersey concrete blocks. You can try as you might, but you're just not going to stop lava. Even though it's got that look of sticky syrup, it's denser than concrete. It just doesn't stop. The same thing was true for our Savior. As Jesus approached the cross, nothing was going to stop him. Jesus had covered ground. There was no deceit in his mouth. There was no malice in his hands. As Jesus went across doing miracles and carried out his ministry, he covered all kinds of ground. Nothing was going to stop him. And then when the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the teachers of the law, the religious professionals of the day approached him and challenged him, nothing kept Jesus from standing his ground. And when all kinds of false witnesses came at his trial and accused him falsely, nothing stopped Jesus from standing his ground. And then when it came to go to the cross, when Jesus went to our death on our behalf, in our place, nothing stopped Jesus from covering that ground either. And after that moment of darkness, 3 days later when the sun rose, after it had set on that dark thing, there was nothing to be upset about because Jesus had once again covered ground, the ground of overcoming death and being for us our life, so that anyone who might trust in him would know that this unstoppable force of Jesus who goes and gains ground, the good news that goes, would be ours forever. What a magnificent thing. What a marvel that on this rock Christ would build his church and the gates of Hades could not overcome it or even withstand it. That God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. And that heaven and earth could pass away, but Jesus' words would never, ever pass away. And so, how about us? Are we simply going to enjoy God's good news? Are we just going to let this honey drip in our mouths? Are we going to try and make sure it doesn't melt in our hands? Or are we going to go out there into the world with the inspiration of Scripture and carry out the words that we heard today or another day, something that was close to us, something that was part of our story, something that someone else this week might need to hear, the good news of God that automatically goes? Brothers and sisters, in our vocations, in our callings, let us be like the 12 friends of Jesus as they went out in pairs. Whether it's pairs together, maybe it's groups, maybe just individuals, one-on-one, you and I, let us show how the good news of God goes. Amen.